Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. Our text this day is from the Gospel reading, John chapter 10. Dear saints of St. Mark Lutheran Church, Lewis, guests, family, friends, my dear brothers in the ministry, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring you greetings and peace from all the saints from my congregation in Saline, Michigan. In case you aren't familiar where Saline is, if you were to start at the Big House, Michigan Stadium, and head south for about 15 minutes, you would get to my congregation. But no worries about who you've invited to step into this pulpit here today. My parents raised Lewis and me and our siblings correctly. We bleed cardinal and white as well as green and gold. It is an honor and a privilege to be asked to not only attend this service, but to be asked to preach at the installation of my brother Lewis, my older brother, and my brother in the ministry as well, to bring God's word to you today. Lewis, I was there at your ordination and installation way back in Bemidji, Minnesota. Back then, I was only a seminarian, completing my studies to be a pastor. I was still honored that you made me a part of that service. You preached my installation at my current call in Saline, and so I'm thankful to get even, to be here today. Members of St. Mark, I know that you have been praying for the Lord to guide you to this day for about 3 years, and all glory to Him for how He answers prayer. God directed you to extend this divine call to Lewis, guided Lewis to accept. Jesus is the faithful shepherd of His church, and it is amazing to see how the Holy Spirit continues to call under shepherds, that is, shepherds who serve on behalf of the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Besides being my brother, whom I love, I know Lewis to be a faithful and dedicated shepherd in the Lord's church. He will love you and serve you well. And I trust that you will love him and take care of him and his family. And by the way, as much as Lewis is an answer to your prayers, and he is, God has also truly blessed you with his wife, Elizabeth, his two children, Ava, Sue, and Elias, to be here as well. To our text, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Have you ever noticed how important shepherds are in Holy Scripture? From the very beginning, starting with Adam and Eve having dominion over all the creatures of the earth, their son Abel, whom the Lord regarded, he was a keeper of the sheep. And the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, were all nomadic herders. Jacob, who would later go on to be called Israel by the Lord, made his wealth with his uncle Laban, helping tend to Laban's flocks. Moses, who had been a prince in Egypt, fled that life and became a shepherd with his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. God then called Moses to go back to Egypt to become a shepherd for his people, leading them through the wilderness. David, who was a shepherd in Bethlehem, becomes the shepherd king of Israel. He wrote in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Ezekiel, and as we heard today, Jeremiah, prophesied against the wicked shepherds of Israel who were supposed to tend to God's people, but who only devoured and killed and scattered them. Isaiah, in contrast, describes the care that God has for his broken people, saying, "The Lord will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." And Ezekiel says, "I will set up over them one shepherd, the descendant of David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Is it any surprise that when it came time for these ancient promises to be fulfilled regarding the Messiah, that the first persons to hear the good news out in the fields of Bethlehem, the birthplace of David, were shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night? And this promise fulfilled, this Messiah, who was the Son of God, would be the one who said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Shepherds are not only important people in the Bible, but the image of a shepherd seems to be the preeminent picture that God gives of how he loves his own. And all of it, of course, all of it points to and culminates in our Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, it is a significant and serious thing that God now sets up in his church shepherds, shepherds of the flock, as we hear them called in 1 Peter chapter 5. And these shepherds do not take the place of Jesus, but rather are ones called to reflect Jesus, the chief shepherd, for the sake of the sheep. A pastor is yet one more under-shepherd in this long and ancient line of shepherds, whose job is very simple and direct. Whether it was an Old Testament shepherd or a New Testament shepherd, a pastor, there is only one directive, one standard of measurement that separates a faithful shepherd from a wicked one. Are the sheep being led through the door of the sheep, the door that is Jesus? And is the shepherd reflecting the one and only good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Now, I say that that task is simple, and it is. It is and always about Jesus. But just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. In fact, it is quite difficult. Lewis, you have been called to be a shepherd in the Lord's church, one who tends, one who loves, one who serves, one who even lays down his life for the sheep, just as the good shepherd has done and would do. You are to tend to the flock of Saint Mark as if Jesus himself were doing it, quite literally and not metaphorically. When your congregation hears your voice, they will hear Jesus. When you preach the word, it is his word that you preach. When you forgive their sins, it is his forgiveness that you share. When you administer his sacrament, you are giving them his body and blood. You are not a hired hand. You are a called shepherd of the people of God, which means you must protect them. Protect them against the thieves who come only to steal and kill and destroy. There's so much in this world today that seeks to steal life and kill it and destroy it. You must protect this flock. You must be on guard against wolves. Wolves who come in person. Wolves who come in print. Wolves who come in countless other media today, all with a singular desire to snatch and scatter the sheep. There are wolves, particularly not those dressed as sheep like you would see in cartoons, but wolves who come dressed as shepherds, wicked shepherds, false teachers, heretics, even the devil himself who comes as an angel of light, all of whom are seeking to lead the sheep through something, anything, other than the door, the narrow door of Jesus. So a shepherd must be on guard. He must also know his sheep. He must spend time with them and share this life with them. A shepherd must feed his sheep, feed them the diet they truly need to survive. Not the appealing saccharin of worldly positivity and inspirational motivation that has the theological depth of a 6-second TikTok video. No, they need the true food of God's word, law and gospel, rightly divided, rightly taught, rightly applied. The true food of confession and absolution, the true food of Christ's body and blood. They need his word delivered through his means of grace. And in the end, a shepherd must be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's what separates a true shepherd from a hired hand. A hired hand flees at the first sign of danger or distress. But a true shepherd will keep his post because he is willing to sacrifice for the life of the sheep. Lewis, this means prioritizing the flock before yourself and being the first servant of this congregation. This means taking that phone call that pulls you out to the hospital even though you just walked through the door at the end of an exhausting day. This means being with your sheep both in the pleasant pastures of their lives as well as in their valleys of the shadow of death. This means patiently preaching, teaching, and counseling your flock, not out of a desire to be popular, but out of a desire to love them and want what's best for them. And this means speaking faithfully the word of Jesus in all circumstances, especially when it's difficult. And if all of this sounds impossible to do, then you'd be right. Which is why, Lewis, the most important thing to realize is that you're an under-shepherd, not just of anyone, but an under-shepherd of the one and only good shepherd. He is your shepherd, too. He has made you part of his flock, not because of your worth or your merit or your performance as a pastor or a husband or as a Christian, but because of his undeserved love for you, Lewis, and his desire for you to have the life that he alone offers. Jesus will shepherd you and help you as you care for his sheep. He is the one who laid down his life at the cross for all of your sins and for all of your failings as a pastor, as a husband, as a father. But Jesus took back up his life again on Easter morning because he alone has the authority to do that. And he did it so that now you may be sure that he has given you life both now and on the day when he will call you out of your grave, when he will share with you that unfading crown of glory. You are a sinner, Lewis. And I would know because as you told me on my installation day, because we grew up in the same house together. But when you sin, and you will, when you find you didn't handle something as well as you should have, or didn't love as well as you should have, or didn't shepherd as well as you should have, be quick to confess, quick to ask for forgiveness, both from God and from your people. And know this, God forgives you. Because before you were ever called as a pastor, you were first called by the Holy Spirit as a baptized child of God. You are His sheep. And He will be with you always with His forgiveness and love that Jesus won at His cross and His empty tomb. And He will give you everything you need to tend to His flock. He is faithful. Saints of St. Mark, you also have an equally high calling in the Lord's church. You have the calling of the priesthood of all believers, fellow baptized members of Christ, members of the flock of the Good Shepherd, and you are the hearers of the gospel that Christ proclaims to you. When God, through you, called Pastor Polzin to be your pastor, that meant the Holy Spirit has also positioned you to fulfill your calling in His church. The pastoral call not only obligates the shepherd to his sheep, but also the sheep to their shepherd. It goes both ways. Pastor Polzin is here to guide you through the door of Jesus and Jesus alone so that you may enter by that door and be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Pastor Polzin will protect, guard, know, feed, tend, and lay down his life for you. He will forgive your sins, preach you the word, and administer the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. As Martin Luther wrote in the small called Articles, "Thank God a child 7 years old knows what the church is, namely, the holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd." Pastor Polzin will bring you that voice, a voice you already know, because you are the Lord's church. This does require certain things from you. First, it requires that you are here regularly to receive what Jesus desires you to receive free of charge through His means of grace. Jesus says, "This is where you will find me, in word and sacrament." But a pastor cannot shepherd non-existent sheep, or sheep that only make it here when it's convenient for them. You are to receive Pastor Polzin as a servant of Jesus Christ and an under-shepherd of the one good and chief shepherd. You are to give him the honor and love and obedience that God's word prescribes for you to give. You are to aid him in word and deed, to pray for him, to assist him, to work alongside of him in the ministry and mission that the Lord of the church has given St. Mark. In short, you are to receive Pastor Polzin as you would receive Jesus, because he is here to care for you as Jesus would care for you. Hold him to his God-given vocation. Open your Bibles and make sure he is preaching and teaching faithfully. If you have questions about something he says or something he teaches or something he preaches, don't stew over it for 4 years and then bring it up at a voters' meeting. Make an appointment with him that week. Ask him about it. He probably has a very good reason for what he did or what he said, and at the same time wants to hear what you think. Don't disappear on him. If you do, don't get mad if he shows up at your door wondering where you've been. He's not being nosy or rude. He's being a good pastor. This is what he's been called to do. Respect the time that he devotes to your care. Also respect the time that he needs to devote to his wife and children. Pastor Polzin will sacrifice himself for you, which means he also needs time to recharge. Help protect his days off and vacation times, of course, except for emergencies. And help him care for his family. A pastor's family sometimes can be the loneliest people in a congregation, even if you see them surrounded constantly by people. So love them. A pastor who knows that their congregation loves his family, is able to do anything for them, he is willing to serve them and do anything for his congregation. But know this, members of St. Mark, you will not do these things perfectly or sinlessly either. We are all sinful. We all fall short. Which means you also need to daily remember your baptism and your standing in Christ, not on an account of your own effort or merit, but on account of His grace and love. You are forgiven in Christ. So be quick to confess your wrongs. Be quick to receive God's forgiveness, which Pastor Polzin is called to bring to you. And be even quicker to forgive those who wrong you. Today represents a great and joyous day in the life of St. Mark Lutheran Church. We are blessed. I am blessed to have met the former shepherds, not only of the past 3 years, but even before that, of St. Mark. And it is a blessing to see how God has been faithful to His church here at St. Mark. This is a day that shows that God continues to provide for His flock. You have been given yet another under-shepherd. And your pastor, your shepherd, has been given a flock. You see, you need each other. This is how Christ's church works. So that your pastor may care for, tend, and shepherd you with Christ's love. And so that you may receive this care, tending, and shepherding, knowing that a pastor does it on behalf of Christ. Together you will hear and know the Good Shepherd's voice. Together you will follow Him. Friends, there is only one way to forgiveness and salvation and eternal life, and it is both the door of the sheep as well as the Good Shepherd Himself, Jesus Christ. He is the one who has the authority to lay down His life for you. And He did. To forgive all of your sins and to take your place under God's righteous judgment. And Jesus is the one who has authority to pick up His life again. And He did. So that He may give this life to you. You know His voice and you follow Him. You follow Him because the day is coming when the chief shepherd will appear and He will call each of you by name, saying to you, "Arise. Come into the pleasant pastures of the new heavens and the new earth and live in the abundant life that I have prepared for you." Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. Amen.